This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. There were some lukewarm economic numbers out of China this week, their statisticians still being on the job and all. Chinese manufacturing didn't grow as quickly last month as everybody'd been expecting, yet another sign of the slowdown over there. Our man in China, Rob Schmitz, is going to spend the next year or so on a series about that slowdown, China's hangover, he wants to call it. Stories of the aftermath of 3 decades of amazing economic growth. He gets us going with a story about the flow of capital in the world's biggest communist country. 97% of small businesses in China can't get a simple bank loan. So today, Rob takes us to the birthplace of Chinese shadow banking.
This is the sound of Wenzhou. Thousands of small factories like this one line the streets. For years, this neighborhood has made much of the world's metal cigarette lighters. A couple of miles away, a neighborhood specializing in shoe soles. And the district beyond that, felt-tip pens. Nearly all of them, small private businesses getting no help from the government. Wenzhou businessman Huang Fajing explains.
We're a coastal city near Taiwan. The government was always scared Taiwan would bomb or invade us, so the government never bothered to invest any money into our infrastructure. They left us alone.
Some say the government got out of the way, allowing the capitalist-minded people of Wenzhou to develop their own economy, complete with a lending system that predates banks, where a loan is simply a pile of money pulled together by friends and family.
I began making cigarette lighters 20 years ago. 4 of my family members each put in $1,500 and lent it to me without interest. That's what we call a Wenzhou loan.
Thanks to his Wenzhou loan, Huang Fajin made a fortune selling cigarette lighters. Chinese media now call him the Lighter King. On his road to cigarette lighter fame and fortune, the Lighter King watched on as more money flowed into Wenzhou. Loans were no longer limited to just family and friends. The Wenzhou loan became a lot less innocent.
Bigger groups of lenders began to form. They pooled money together and took turns taking out loans. Then they started lending money with very high interest rates to strangers.
This system of lending in all its variations is called shadow banking. It's now popular throughout China. In a report earlier this year, J.P. Morgan Chase estimated China's shadow banking industry could be worth up to 70% of the country's GDP. China's central bank has become so worried about this that in June it essentially froze lending between the country's banks, sending global markets into a free fall. The big concern here is that if China's economic growth continues to slow down, all these off-the-books loans won't be paid back. Along a busy thoroughfare in Wenzhou, simply called Shoe Street, shoe factories that export to Europe are now, like the EU, suffering. Shoe factory owner Gao Shenyi sits inside his storefront, sipping tea and smoking cigarettes with his friends. He wears a silver chain around his neck, bright red shoes, and a tight T-shirt filled with random English words. Staple text, free floral decorative pack, January, and so on. The shirt's tucked into bright white chinos, showing off a sparkly rhinestone belt buckle. His friends are dressed like Chinese gangsters, too. There's a reason for that.
My friend lent some money to a businessman who agreed to pay it back with interest in 60 days. But then the guy disappears. We've been looking for him, but he ran away.
This is becoming common in Wenzhou. Private loan defaults have soared over the past 2 years. Dozens of Wenzhou businessmen unable to pay back their loans have gone missing or been found dead. Yin Zhichao, deputy director of the China Household Finance Survey, has studied China's shadow banking sector for years. He fears these types of defaults could lead to social instability throughout China.
They have a sudden, far-reaching impact on everyone who's lent that money. From my point of view, China's biggest economic risk isn't from the existing banking system, but from this type of shadow banking.
And now China wants to bring this sector out of the shadows. A year ago, it chose Wenzhou to start a pilot program to legalize shadow lending networks, building a place where people can apply for these loans. But here at the Wenzhou Private Lending Registration Center on a recent weekday, there isn't one customer. Rows of chairs sit empty and dozens of staff pretend to look busy surfing the internet. It's always this empty, says Zhou Xiang, a loan officer who works here. Joe sits under a poster depicting a smiling elderly couple lying on their stomachs in a verdant meadow of wildflowers. The sky is blue, and in the background, skyscrapers rise from the pasture. It's a landscape that doesn't exist in China, promising loans nobody seems to want. I ask him why.
Most businesses that come here don't have a credit history. They just don't qualify for a loan.
Which is exactly how shadow banking started here in the first place. In Wenzhou, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.